I'm so interested in robots and how they're being used in things like medical and education and all of the neat things that robots can be used for these days. Robot Lab is a leader in inspiring the imagination of kids of all ages. They're building 21st century skills like programming, computational thinking, and they use robots to do it. Please help me welcome Elad Inbar. He's the CEO of Robot Lab. Elad, nice to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And I see you've brought some friends. I see Now.
Yeah.
And
I'm
Now.
Sure if I brought them or they brought me.
Well, it's so great to have you on the show, and we're looking forward to learning all about what you're doing with robots in the education sector. First of all, you know, robots have come a long way in the 9 years that you've been working with Robot Lab. Can you tell us a little bit about the progression right off the bat? You know, what have you seen that is the biggest kind of change as far as driving the robot industry?
I think the main trend that we are seeing is that robots are becoming less geeky. You know, if you're looking like 10 or 20 years back, robots were basically kits that you need to solder and work on electronics and, you know, wire things and connect it and build your own thing.
Right.
And in the recent years, we are seeing, you know, the move towards what we call today smart toys. Which are, you know, pre-assembled products that are capable of doing many, many things by themselves, like the Now robot that we have over here, and they can be extended, they can be programmed to do many other things. So I think this is the main shift that we see. And on top of course, you know, the regular stuff like, you know, better CPU, more memory and so on. But the fact that, you know, you don't need to solder them, you don't need to build them yourself, open the robotics world to, you know, way more people, way more industry than what it was just a few years ago.
And now your focus at Robot Lab is primarily on the education sector. And in that, like, how do you bring robots into classrooms, and what is the incentive to really to do that?
Yeah, like the big why. Like, why
That's
robots?
It.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're cool.
The it's funny because the big why here is actually coming from the students. Imagine, you know, a typical teenager, right, sitting in a math classroom.
Yeah.
The teacher is talking about quadratic equations. What does he have above his head? Why? Why do I need to learn that?
Mm-hmm.
Relevant,
right.
It's not interesting, I'll never use it in my life, right? This is, you know, the main thing that happened here. They just keep asking themselves, why? Why do I need to do all of this? Especially today that, you know, they have access to data on their smartphone. They can, you know, ask Google whatever they want and they'll get an answer. Why do I need to learn that? Why do I need to develop equations and all of that? So what we are showing them is we're helping them understand why they need to learn that. And we do that with robots. Now, robots, I mean, as you can see here, I mean, they are very alive, they are very visual, and they can help the students understand these kind of subjects. So in one of our programs, for example, the students make the robot dance. Now, making a robot dance is something, you know, noble and fun for itself, but if you really want to make the robot move, let's say there is a very popular dance in schools now, raise the roof.
Right.
so if you want, you know, to make the robot raise the roof, you'll have to be able to control each one of the joints and set the angle, okay, and control, you know, the motion of the robot. And what we do is we show the students that you actually do that using math. Okay, so you program that using math. You actually create the equations that make, you know, mirrored motion perfectly smooth. So they apply the math into something that they care about, that they really, you know, want to make, you know, move and interact and dance. That's the, you know, the biggest incentive here.
Right. So Elad, when you talk about mathematics, for example, like how does a student learn to program one of these robots? Is it its own language, or are you talking just learning programming in general?
So we have two ways or two areas that we, apply these robots at. The first one is using, obviously, computer science. So we want the students to be able to program, to study programming. And they do that by working on these robots either from a drag-and-drop interface, very easy, you know, beginners can... like in no time can just like, you know, drag predefined activities.
Right, okay.
Boxes, connect them together and boom, the robot just can stand up and talk and interact with you. But the robot also supports Python and Java and C++, so you can take it, you know, further along, and you can create, you know, whatever you want. We have students created, you know, Twitter accounts for these robots, and the robot actually tweeting and sending pictures and messages and everything.
So I take it then, just, you know, these are not powered by Microsoft.
No,
because we've had bad experiences there.
Yes, no, it's actually the version of Linux, it's a version of Debian that runs on that.
Oh, neat.
So we are safe here. I mean, the robot won't insult anyone.
Very cool.
Right. So, I mean, truly, the teachers are teaching like multi-layered lessons. If they're teaching sort of computer programming and then also mathematics or physics,
exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is actually the second type of, you know, use case, which is we don't want, you know, the teachers to, you know, teach programming in every class. When they are teaching math, it should be math, right? I mean, that's the main focus of the lesson.
Sure.
So what we are doing, we are allowing the students to control these robots directly from a web browser. So they don't need any coding or programming or anything like that. They just make the robot, you know, you know, execute the equations or run, you know, what we want them to study at that lesson.
So has now been basically, you know, just to understand the inner workings, has it been built as an educational tool so that it's easier for teachers to use to teach these lessons, whether they be mathematics or science or programming?
No. The Now was created as a, you know, novelty robot that can do many things as a platform. And there are many uses for that. I mean, we've seen people using it, you know, all the way from, you know, retail environments to,
really?
To helping patients, you know, after surgeries and so on, recovering, you know, faster and so on. So it's a platform that can do many, many things. It's totally open. It's not limited to anything. We found a niche in education because of a few things. First of all, they're cute.
Yeah. I mean, they are darn adorable.
Except you give me the evil eye right now.
So they are cute. And you know, this cuteness factor, you know, removes a lot of barriers. So it's not like an industrial robotic arm that can lift, I don't know, a 3,000-pound car just like, and you know, and kill you. It's something that, you know, won't harm you. And because of that, and because of the, you know, form factor, it's actually, I mean, kids are really, you know, want to work with that. The second thing is that robots are not judgmental. And this is a very powerful, you know, thing in education.
Sure.
A lot of times when, you know, think about students, again, when they make a mistake, you know, the teachers, the parents, whoever, just like tell them, you can do better, right? I mean, just like try again. Right. We are like very judgmental. And, you know, many times kids just, like, you know, the cringe and I don't want even to try again because I'll fail.
Right.
And I don't want the same negative experience. But if the robot made a mistake, let's say I wanted the robot to raise the roof, like what we said, and we didn't get to raise the roof, we got like crazy dance that,
sure, yeah,
you know, doesn't really do it. So, you know, I won't blame the robot. The robot won't be angry at me. I'll try harder because I want the little guy to do, you know, what I want. So
that's cool.
Because they're non-judgmental, they are, you know, a great tool that empower the learning,
right,
for the students.
It's wow, really neat to me that you've learned that about the robots, because like it takes having that experience and realizing that, hey, they're not going to be hard on the kid.
Exactly.
It's regardless of what I do, it's cool.
Yeah. It's like the endless patience that they have. They last as long as their battery, right?
Or, I mean, they can be plugged in. I mean, they're just like a laptop with motors and sensors.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Now, I mean, as far as in the classroom, are they pretty, like, hardy? Because kids are kind of crazy sometimes.
Yeah, kids are kids, granted. Yeah. you know, with that, I mean, one of the important things that we offer to schools is a worry-free warranty. So no matter what happens, you know, we'll take care of you, and you know, there won't be like crazy expenses to fix them.
Great.
I mean, we had kids like making the robot accidentally, I hope, you know, walking off the edge of the table.
Right.
And you know, we got broken robots and in a very bad shape, but that's okay. I mean, kids are kids. And and by the way, this is part of the learning. And we want them to be able to experience and to experiment with things and figure out, you know, what went wrong and, you know, how would I make it better next time? That's how we learn.
Mm-hmm. Now, how easy is it to implement, like, the actual education for the teachers, because you'll have to teach the teachers how to teach the kids, right? Or do they do they need some sort of special training as far as bringing in the robot?
That's a great question. I mean, we don't expect math teachers or literacy teachers to become a PhD in robotics just in order to work with these kind of tools. So what we are doing is we are making the control and the accessibility or the access to the robot very, very simple. So as I mentioned earlier, you can either control the robots from a web browser. So for example, let's take another math example. If you want the robot to walk on a grid, and we want the robot to walk to, let's say, on the grid to like a 2x2 or whatever it is, they need to figure out what's the angle that the robot needs to turn at and how far the robot needs to walk. So they can just set these two parameters on the web browser, hit go, and the robot can go. So the teachers don't need to understand anything about robotics or computer science and programming and everything in order to teach math. So this is one way to do that. The other way is using the very easy drag and drop interface. You basically, I want the robot to stand up, I'll drag a box, which is stand up box, and hit play and the robot will stand up. I don't need to program all of that to consider, the motion and the center of mass, center of gravity, where it is, and these kind of things that are all hidden from the teacher.
Yeah, it sounds very multi-layered as far as the level of the education that's required in order to achieve what you're looking to do. So what would kind of the age span be of, like, we're really focusing on now, the robot that we see on the screen today. What would be the age? I mean, it must be... As I get better at it.
So we have programs, we've developed programs from kindergarten all the way to college level.
Wow.
Again, as a platform, it's not really, age restricted or something like that. What has to be age appropriate is the content and what we are teaching them. Mm-hmm. So for example, in the elementary school, we are teaching them storytelling, which is one of the skills that students are losing today with very short tweets or Snapchats that no one cares anymore about, like, spelling correctly, right? Because great become GR and the number 8,
right?
And these kind of things. So we teach them how to create a story and how to write a story and how to make this robot stand up and tell the story with sound effects and with motion and all of that. And this is a way more engaging, way to teach this kind of subjects to students. And it's much more rewarding than, writing a 500 words essay and, submitted by Friday or else.
Oh, this is lovely. A huge big thank you. This means that you'll be teaching generations, like, to use proper punctuation. And
that's a good start.
Right?
So then the question comes up. I mean, Jeff Weston isn't here with us tonight, but I know that if he was, he'd be on the edge of his seat going, but, are they going to take over jobs?
No, they're to enhance jobs.
Are robots eventually going, is the goal to replace teachers here? Yeah. Or what's happening?
So the goal is not to replace teachers, and these are not going to take any jobs. If at all, the goal is to augment the teacher and to provide more tools to engage 21st century learners, right? I mean,
well, I feel like there are sometimes, like in my life when I was learning, I would need extra time with a task to actually grasp it. Mostly math tasks, but that a teacher just didn't have the time to give me. So then this could be used sort of in a special education or enhanced education situation as well, where, I mean, that robot could be dedicated to that kid in a time when the teacher needed to focus on the rest of the classroom as a whole, right?
Yeah, definitely. We have that as part of our program. It's basically for, you can call it remedial, intervention. So if someone needs an extra, attention, they can actually get it with the robot. So here's the activity, make the robot do X, it doesn't really matter what. And by working on that, the students get, first, the hands-on experience,
right.
And second, they get the chance to learn at their own pace. With the tools that they care about, because equations on the board don't work. They never worked.
Thank
and especially
you.
For kids with smartphones today in their hands, it will never work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, way to keep their attention with something that's modern and edgy and fun and cool.
Be a fun detention tool. Like, you are not allowed to leave the classroom until you teach the robot how to properly say this sentence.
So how...
And not just say the sentence, spell it correctly. Because if you won't spell it correctly, the robot can't pronounce it correctly.
Oh, I would be in so much trouble.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes total sense. Hey, we're talking with Elad Inbar, and he is the CEO at Robot Lab. You can find them at robotlab.com. Find out all about what they're doing in the education mm-hmm. sector. If you have questions, join us in the live chat room, Category 5 on Freenode, or if you're watching this after the fact, of course, you can comment below, and we'll extend those questions as well.
Can you make them say something, anything, even just introduce themselves? I heard a voice earlier when he was saying his IP address, right? Or
I mean, unfortunately, not right now, because we have a dedicated router for this call. So I couldn't connect them right now for our chat. But yes, they can definitely say, they can definitely talk, they can definitely interact.
Okay. Now, my next question to that then is, could it happen in any language? Are they easy to program, say, as a French learning tool in an English classroom?
So they support 27 languages. There is actually a cappella. I don't know if you're familiar with this voice engine embedded in the operating system. So the robot can both speak and understand 27 languages.
Wow.
So that's definitely possible.
Again, we're looking at now a lot, but can you tell us a little bit about the specifications of the robot that we see here? I mean, it looks like they're attentive, they're looking around. Is that just head movement, or are they actually taking pictures? What's going on here?
So what's going on here is this. We have four microphones around the head. So the robot is trying to localize the source of sound as I'm talking. So if, for example... You know, I'll do that. There is some echo in this room, so it's a little bit confusing for him. But it's basically trying to, close on the coordinates of the speaker and give this a human, you know, natural feel that I'm looking at you when I'm talking to you, right? We don't want robots that are like, yes, what do you want, right?
Yeah.
Looking at the ceiling. So we have four microphones around the head. We have two cameras. This is the top camera over here. I can show it over there. Is basically looking forward, and the bottom one looks down towards the legs, so we can detect obstacles and places where the robot shouldn't go. We have inside the head, we have a full computer, Intel Atom 1.6 gigahertz, 8 gigabyte of RAM. I mean, you know, computer for everything that we want. We have a network port on the back. Just like on the Matrix,
plug them in.
Yeah, I mean, here we go. I mean, you can actually see it here.
Oh.
I mean,
oh, nice.
Oh, so that's why he's motionless
in his spine.
Yeah, I suspended the motion because I don't want him to, like, you know, drag this cable.
Right.
But they are fully wireless as well. Wi-Fi is the way to go with this kind of robots. The eyes are actually infrared sensors, so the robot can turn on and off like TVs, air conditioners, or DVDs, or anything that has a remote control. We have ultrasonic sensors, gyro, accelerometer, tactile sensors, so the robot can sense when we touch it. So it's pretty advanced robot. We have 25 motors around the body.
And are they they're fully articulating, I presume? They can move around and interact with their environment?
They can move around, autonomously.
Autonomously?
Yeah, if you load the program on the robot, you can just, you know, close your computer, let it run. The program runs on the computer, which is basically a computer with motors and sensors.
Right.
That's great. I feel like children, like I had two nephews that have autism, and I feel like robots like this would be great to teach some social skills, even as far as eye contact. And I mean, if these robots are looking at me when I'm talking, but if I'm not looking at you when I'm talking, like if I'm not looking at the robot when I'm talking, maybe it doesn't get what I'm saying, right? Like in the program.
And there's no intimidation factor there when you're speaking to one of these little guys.
So you're teaching effective communication.
Yeah, and you actually touched a very important point here. There is a program for to help autism treatment, if you can call it treatment. the first of all, the autism spectrum is very wide.
Yeah.
But especially in the emotions and in the detection of like human interaction, these robots are awesome. And the reason is, and this is out of a research from Notre Dame University, the reason is that autistic kids are very intimidated by all the different you know, levels of communication that we have as human beings. We have different tone of voice. We have, you know, body motion. We use a lot of non-verbal communication, which is like, you know, a sensory overload for them. It's,
yeah,
you know, they just prefer to shut down because it's too much for them. With robots, it's very precise. I mean, the motion will be exactly the same motion the 100 times and the 1,000th time, right? The tone of voice will be exactly the same tone of voice, and it gives the kids the confidence in what's going to happen. So they are opening to listen, to actually be able to digest the information that's been passed to them. And by working with this kind of you know, robots and this kind of program, we've seen amazing amazing changes in kids' and parents' lives. There are kids that started to communicate after working with these robots.
I mean, that's awesome.
Their parents couldn't even talk to them, and after, you know, some time working with that, they can actually communicate, they can actually talk, which is awesome.
And I would imagine just the programmability and being able to do more than just play with it and actually learn, you know, I think about learning how it works and programming it and
right.
and telling it, hey, do this, and having it do that would just be incredibly exciting.
Yeah, we have a professor at Northridge, California State University in Northridge, that actually made the robot as a training tool for, you know, basically teachers for autistic kids. So the robot is the autistic kid. So he's throwing a tantrum. you know, the teacher needs to, you know, relax the robot. So this is the program that runs behind the scenes to simulate, you know, an autistic kid, as an example.
Right.
So that's a completely opposite end of the education factor of the robot. It's so cool.
I mean, the robot is a tool, and as a platform, it can do so many things. I always say we are limited by our imagination, not by what the platform can do.
I'm excited to be around in this time of life. Like, robots are coming to us in, you know, all these exciting new ways, and this is my favorite so far, I'll tell you. I'm going to get one.
Elad, what do you see as being kind of the next step in robotics and education when it comes to what you're doing with Robot Lab? What's coming up?
So we're not using only humanoid robots. We're using many other different products, from quadcopters to rovers to, I'm sure you're familiar with the BB-8, the Sphero one. So we're using different types of robots. And I would say the next wave will be more like a specialized you know, tools. While these are great, and they are sincerely and seriously great tools, they, you know, might be overkill for some tasks, for some, you know, subjects that we want to teach our kids. So there will be different robots that will be able to do different things, probably better than what humanoid robot can do. I mean, like us, I mean, we can run up to a certain speed. If we need to go faster, we'll take a car. We won't, you know, improve our running capabilities to 100 miles per hour, right?
Right.
So these kind of things we just keep seeing over and over again. And this robot can't fly. And if you want to take aerial photos and want to teach, you know, kids about, you know, areas and range and so on, it's much easier to do it with a quadcopter. So, you know, this is how we are working in our company. We're trying to find the best fit, you know, the best product to the best to the subject that we want to teach.
And how do you see, you know, what's the difference in the kind of quadcopters that Robot Lab is working with versus, you know, the kind that I fly to shoot my video?
They're exactly the same.
So just the same kind of thing and just learning how to fly yourself?
Yeah? It's the same thing, but what we teach is not how to fly them. Is we're using them. For example, we have a program that uses the quadcopter to teach elementary students about shapes. So we are flying that. We let the teacher fly it above the school. They go up to the, you know, play art and just like fly it above the schools, and they take a video of that, and then they go back to the classroom and they need to analyze, you know, what are the shapes that, you know, the school is built from.
Clever. Okay,
we have squares, we have triangles, we have circles, and so on. And then they go in and do the measurements. So if one edge of, you know, our gymnasium, as an example,
yep.
okay, it's 100 foot, okay, what's the area? Okay, and this kind of
wow.
thing.
Wow. So you're doing the same, you're doing exactly the same stuff that we all learned in school, but you're just saying, oh, here's a way to keep the kids excited about
right.
it, right?
That's right.
Because this is a
why?
Whole different that's generation.
The whole, that's the whole thing. When was the last time that you used,
the Pythagorean
triangle, right?
Pythagorean theorem. I use that one every day.
I mean, you don't need it, but, okay, if you know, you look at your school and you actually need to paint the walls or to do something, how much paint do you need? Okay,
yeah.
So let's measure that. And it's not just like an assumption or whatever. Let's take a tool, a cool tool, that really engages the student and use that in order to help them to measure, to help them, you know, to practice the skills that we want them to study.
I wish I grew up at one of your schools, man, because I learned with a yardstick.
Yes.
Well, Elad Inbar is from robotlab.com. Please check them out. And Elad, it is such a pleasure having you here on the show. Thanks
yes,
for bringing
thank
now along with you today as well. They're super cool.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks for having me. And I hope you enjoy this talk.
Cheers. Did you notice the bots behind us? My son, Zach, loaned us his two robots because he knew that we were talking about robots tonight. So he thought, it would be really cool if Dad were to put my robots on the show.
I mean,
so thank you to Zach for loaning us those tonight.
Right. And even when he was here playing with them and he was so engaged with them.
Mm-hmm.
Robots do something to kids and to adults that I have never seen with anything else. Like, they just are so much fun.
I think especially as you get into autonomous
mm-hmm.
activities, that excites me. The robot up here, Zek can program it.
Right.
From the controller. So he sets a program and then he pushes play and it does all the things that he programmed it to do. And he loves it.
See?
That's so cool.
So he's learning at the same time.
We saw Now, and Now is like cutting edge, the best. It's got that Intel processor in it, in its brains. Smart stuff, fast stuff, and able to do a lot of things. It's powered by Debian, which we love.
We love this.
Yeah.
It would be such a handy tool on so many levels. Even I was thinking homeschooling, because some parents are really into homeschooling their kids. If they
had
that robot to help.
They could just sit around drinking whiskey more.
No, that is not what I mean. I'm just saying it would be helpful to keep an ongoing, because you have kids of different ages, right?
Yes.
So you're homeschooling, say, three kids.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an ongoing lesson with one child
right.
while you're having a breakaway lesson with the other two, right? I like cool. it. It's like increasing your staff. And by staff, I mean
a little cute little robot. Very cool stuff.